You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. This is the Michael K. Show podcast.
I'm joyful and fun.
Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2.
That's cool, man!
On 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
This is Robin Roberts, and the Michael K. Show starts right now. Take it away, Michael, Don, and Peter.
Thank you, Robin, and a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on this Wednesday, May 26, 2021, hot, muggy, humid day in the city. Michael Kay, Don LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg. We're apart, but we're together for the next 4.5 hours. The other 19 and a half, that is your responsibility. Hope everybody's doing great, really. Today's the first day that you just felt sticky and icky and gooey and disgusting. You know, I went to get a haircut today, walked up the steps to the place where you get the haircut, soaking wet, soaking
wet. Wait, was it
wet.
That? Was it different where you are than where I was?
It
was
not. It hit different.
Oh, not here in the city.
Really?
No, I walked around. I didn't get soaking wet in any way.
Weird. Maybe I'm profoundly ill. I don't know.
That is, by the way, distinct possibility.
I had to go to my mom's.
How is mom?
Good.
Good.
Because her air condition went in her bedroom.
Oh no.
So I had to reinstall a new air conditioning. So I was in a room, Peter, with no AC, no sweating. So wait,
you were on my side.
I mean, listen, it's warm. But I didn't go, like, I didn't think it was oppressive.
No.
Well, I didn't think it was oppressive either until I broke into a cold sweat that pretty much covered from my ankles to my neck.
Oh, cold sweat in the
that
heat.
That means you're
Michael.
Sick.
I'm not sick. I feel terrific. I got the temperature taken when I walked into the stadium. Everything is phenomenally good.
Well, wow. Cold, then you're in mortal fear of something.
I'm not in fear. I live in fear every day of things. You know
that's
that.
That's a great point.
That's my point. Let's start with basketball, shall we?
Shall we?
Well, the Nets have built a Frankenstein monster that is finally rearing its beautiful head, and they're not going to be beaten except by themselves. Now, one of the questions that's been asked on the shows before our show, and I think it's a pretty good one, do you think they're going to be tested before the NBA Finals? And I believe they will be. They're going to slip up. They'll get cocky. This Boston Celtic team has no business on the floor with them. And then when Joe Harris is clicking the way he's clicking, that adds a fourth weapon to three phenomenal weapons. He had 6 3-pointers in the first half, which is a new net playoff record. This team has it all. And they embarrassed the Celtics yesterday. And I think will continue to embarrass the Celtics. And they'll just move to the next round. But I do believe they'll be tested. I believe they'll get scared a little bit at some point where a series will be 1-1 and – you know, they're going to another city, and they've got to win that game. I think that will happen. Now, whether or not they'll face elimination, Don, I don't know if they'll face elimination.
I don't think they'll face elimination. Could they be down in a series? You know, maybe sleepwalk through a game one. Because remember, they will not have home court against Philadelphia. So could you see them maybe losing a game one, splitting on the road? But I don't think this team will ever be down 3-2. I don't think this team will face elimination. But I also don't want to judge everything on two games against a Boston team that has been average all year long and
true.
Didn't settle for the play-in. They were every bit a play-in team. This is a 7 or 8 seed in a normal year that a 2 seed should be able to take care of. So, listen, I'm judging everything on how I felt about them when they got together. I'm not judging anything about these first two games against Boston.
But the thing that I'm judging is that the big three are together. You know, we only saw that 7 times in the regular season, 8 times in the regular season. So now 2 games in a row, the more comfortable they get, the better they're going to get. The better they get, the more unbeatable the team's going to get. I mean, we've been saying this forever. Those three guys healthy, how are you beating them? How are you knocking them out? I don't think it's possible. I think they're flirting right now with the rest of the NBA. They're playing a team that doesn't belong on the court with them, and they're embarrassing them.
All right, you don't have to keep saying it. It's almost
I'll say it the entire show.
It's like you're intentionally being disrespectful.
You have no connection to the Celtics at all. Stop yourself.
Well, because I'm not from Boston.
And now, does he not feel? If you cut him, does he not bleed?
Thank you. Now, did I watch the game last night? Well, some of it. Well, I was checked out pretty early. They did not show up yesterday.
So you're not a fan, so I don't really worry about hurting you.
Well, I had to watch something else. There was something else important on.
Like what?
The Tyson documentary on ABC.
How was it? I heard it was good. My sister watched it. She said it was very good.
I got to tell you, it's like, you know, for someone like me, and I think you guys, too, you'll know everything in it. It's still very well done, though. It's a good. When did you ever stumble on a Tyson documentary and not find yourself intrigued or interested?
Well, his life is interesting.
That's the thing.
So, in a train wreck sort of way.
And the voices they have are you know, interesting voices. And it's not just the train wreck too. It's the whole beginning too. You know, it's good stuff. But anyways, the Celtics from the very beginning were oof. That was borderline embarrassing.
But we felt no matter who they were going to play in the first round, that this was going to be where they build up their chemistry, right? But I don't think anybody is surprised by them, you know, taking care of business against a lower-seeded team. And they will not – now, could the Bucks test them? Because I guess that would be next
Bucks
up,
will
right?
Bucks test them. Yeah, Bucks and are good.
Well, test – you know, a test means you're not going to face elimination. Could you – in that case, you'd be starting the first two games in Brooklyn. So could you lose a game three against Milwaukee up 2-0? But again, all of this was how I felt when they got together. And the chemistry thing to me was always going to be something that would be tested later on, right? Because when Miami got exposed, if it was indeed chemistry back when the big three got together there, it wasn't exposed until Dallas in the final. So I never thought for a minute. Did you think that a team like Boston or Charlotte or Miami or who they ever would have faced in the first round would have taken advantage of their lack of chemistry and test them?
No, but I didn't think it would be this easy. I thought I thought it'd be a lot more like the first half that the Celtics had in game one, where they could carry that the entire game and then the big three would take over and, you know, just eke one out. But it hasn't been competitive. So that's I want them to be tested, though. I want them to be tested before they get to the Eastern Conference Finals. I want them to be tested before they get to the NBA Finals. That's important. Because if the first time you're tested is a game where you could win or go home, that's not good either. As you said, Miami and Dallas. All of a sudden, Dallas tested them and beat them.
Right.
So that's a little bit of a concern. Another concern, you know, you're just telling I don't want to, like, talk about family things, but so your mom's air conditioner burned out. So you had to go get an air conditioner and install it.
That's right.
So you're a great son.
That's a man.
I mean, every time you tell a story about your mom needs something, needs to go somewhere, it's you.
Man.
Now, you're not an only child. So when my mom was around, my sister and I would split the responsibilities. Does Dave ever do anything?
Well, listen, David's got...
Here we go.
He works in the morning.
Okay.
And I think my mom trusts me to get it done. I mean, listen, I love my brother. He works very hard, and he loves my mother tremendously.
This has been if you were a politician, Don, this would be a lot of hogwash.
Everything I've said so far is
next
true.
Next thing he's going to do, Peter, is he's going to rip Trae Young. It's going to happen.
Yeah,
including this statement that my brother having to fix something, install something, would look a lot like that scene in Zoolander where they're trying to open up the file on the computer. A lot of, like, slapping at it, poking at it, not knowing what to do.
It's not
so he's not a handyman by any stretch.
You got it.
Okay.
You know,
I just worry about you because you don't need to be pushed either.
Michael, ask your original question again, though.
Does your brother ever do anything?
He does a lot of things, but for my mom, in situations like this, no.
So when is his show over in the morning?
Noon.
A perfect time to go install an air conditioner when you're trying to, like, actually get ready for your show.
That's a great point.
But it's got to get purchased. It's got to get picked up at the Home Depot, which I did last night. Right? Dropped the kids off, drove to my mom's, installed it. It's done.
But again,
I just want to get it done. Peter, you were in a cold sweat today for some reason because it's so hot. So I knew it was going to be hot today. My brother's taking a trip on Thursday, so Abigail's going to swing by and hang out with my mom, her grandmother. And it had to get done.
Right.
So I would rather, this is how I am, rather than, you know, taking the shortest straw, divvying up responsibility, Let's just get it done.
Let's get it done.
I go to the Home Depot. I buy it. I wake up the next morning, drop the kids off, go to my mom's, install it, come in, do the show. It's done.
My worry is about you. You don't need to be pushed to the limit all the time.
Pushed
you don't
to
have
limit.
To be
what?
The guy
I picked up
a, who carries
the planet.
Your bedroom's
not big. I took the old air conditioner, put it in the garage. I don't do a lot. I'm not very good at a lot of things. The one thing I am is pretty strong.
You are.
So
like
I lifted. It was not an issue. But again, all this deliberation, how do we do it? How do we delegate responsibility? You do this day, I do that day. How about would somebody just take the initiative and do it and get it done? And guess what? It's done.
See, but Dave's got it all figured out. He knows that you're like that, so he doesn't step up and say, I'll do it, because he knows that Don just wants to get it done.
No, because, I love my brother to tears, but if he does it, it's a project. It becomes a project. It becomes a lot of different people getting involved. It becomes a lot of, like, scheduling things and maneuvering things. Boom. Done.
All right. Sorry, right? I'm sorry for caring about you.
If it was my brother, there'd be no air condition in that window today.
It's honest, Michael. It's honest.
Yeah. Now, I wasn't going to bring this up, but Michael pushed me.
Now,
there's no problems. My brother, he's got a lot of great skills. He's a very, very good person.
What's this trip he's taking? I'm curious.
Peter will know. He's going to Jacksonville.
For wrestling?
Yeah.
Oh, he's going to the pay-per-view.
Gotcha. Okay. Are you going to Jacksonville, Peter?
No. That's another company that I am not affiliated with.
I'm sorry. I don't want to get a damn heart attack.
That's, you know what? It's a great point by Jay.
No, but I appreciate your concern, but it's not a case of who's the better son or who
loves
the
better son
more.
I mean, it is a case of that. You're the better son.
The case has been settled. Don LaGreca is the better son.
You are the better son.
He knows that. Dave's not fighting that fight.
No, Dave doesn't even mind. Dave cedes that title easily.
But I do think being the older son, there's certain responsibilities. But at the end of the day, it's about what is going to get it done quickest.
See, but Michael Corleone was the oldest son, right?
No, Sonny was.
Sonny was, and Sonny got killed. That's my point.
Right. Actually, you know what? Yeah, and then it was Fredo, then it was Michael.
Yeah, Michael was the youngest. They wanted better things for Michael.
You're my baby brother.
I was passed over. Not the way I wanted it.
I'm not dumb.
The Michael K. Show
on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save.
Wait a minute.
It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years.
I am not going to be put in a corner of insulting my brother. He's not stupid.
No.
I'm just saying that the one thing that is honest, I'd say it to his face.
Go ahead.
There's a lot of.
Give up?
He procrastinates. There's not a lot. He
I
gets
bet you
it
if
done.
If we got Dave on the phone right now, he would admit that he wants to do nothing, and he knows that you'll do everything, so he just lays
back.
So you
think that's all part of it?
Yeah. He's very smart.
So you're saying that
he's playing you like a violin, like a fiddle.
So pretend you don't know how to do it so somebody comes and does it for you?
Exactly.
Oh. Yeah, that's right. That sounds right.
That sounds right.
Well, I think he would admit, though, me doing it got it done quicker and easier.
Right, and that's what he wants you to believe.
Well, then I'm a sucker. But
yes,
you know what?
Correct.
I want my mom to be cool on this day where the heat almost killed our host.
All right, so the Knicks are so nice. They really are. But sometimes you really worry about the niceness, you know, and the people that are putting stuff together. So I got this in the mail today. I don't know if Don and Peter did. I got a whole Knicks swag bag. So the Knicks are playing tonight. We fight. We grind. We fam. We believe. And what's the last one? We belong. We here. Okay. Great. So they send me that. And they send me an R.J. Barrett Knick uniform top. Really
oh, you
nice.
Got that.
Yeah.
I got Julius Randle.
Okay.
I got R.J. too.
And right, I got it yesterday. It's been hanging up. You didn't even say anything. It's been hanging up behind me all the whole show yesterday.
I did see that. I thought, well, that's another thing that Don has down in the man cave. I didn't know that they sent that because I didn't get it until I got home late last night. It obviously was delivered yesterday. But here's my point.
Go ahead.
First to the Knicks. Thank you so much.
Beautiful.
Secondly, you send me stuff that's too small for me and too big for my kids, so I don't quite know exactly what to do with it.
Oh,
but it's very kind of you.
Oh, no.
Not where you want to go?
I'm not going to fit into this large.
What size? They sent you large?
Large. I mean, that's a pajama top for you, Peter. For me, I'm going to wash my car with it eventually because it's too big for Charlie or Callie, and it's too small for me.
I got to tell you.
You got to go double XL when you get to send to a big man. Don, can you wear that?
No.
Okay, that's my point.
It's a perfect fit for me.
But it's hanging back there. I mean, listen, I'm probably not wearing a I'm done. The jersey stage of my life is pretty much over.
Yeah. But you've been honest about that.
But NBA jerseys, that only that's a certain build. They can get away with that.
Yeah, I try. I do my best, but it's not ideal.
See, but I love to wear the basketball top and have the hair on the shoulders. It's an awesome look.
Oh, yeah.
It's really a terrific look. But, yeah, maybe Jody could wear this to bed. That's a good
idea.
See? Yeah.
That sounds sexy.
See, you know, like Ryan Hurley, our PD, screaming at me now on text that I'm being an ingrate. And I'm not being an ingrate.
You are.
No, I'm not. I love it. I think it's really nice of them to do it.
No, he's being an ingrate, but he is making sense.
I mean, they
both
know
can be
me,
true.
Right? I'm 6'4", 225. I can't get into a large. That's in my rearview mirror 35 years ago.
He's gargantuan.
I'm a big man.
That's
Let's
right.
talk about today's game, shall we?
Shall we?
A lot of people are putting must win on it. Don knows how I feel about this over 20 years, so we're not going to go into the same old hackneyed story. The only must win you have is when you must win. Now, if they lose today, would it make it difficult? Of course. It would make it exponentially more difficult. But it can still be done. So they shouldn't put the kind of pressure on themselves if they lose this game, then they've lost the series. I'm very intrigued about the game. The DVR is set. I'm going to try to avoid it during the Yankee game. When I get home, I'm going to watch it as if it's brand new and just happening. But listen, you don't have to be James Naismith to break this down. Julius Randle has to be what he was during the regular season. That's it. Everything else, even if R.J. Barrett has the same sort of game, Julius Randle has to be Julius Randle. The reason the Knicks won 41 games is because of Julius Randle, because of everything that he did. If he cannot rise to that heights, the Knicks can't beat this team, period. They can't.
Well, that's part of my assessment on why tonight is so vitally important. I mean, mathematics say it's not a must win. We've seen teams drop the first two games. I mean, at home in the NBA, it's very difficult, but it's a different world now than I think it was in the past. Plus, I don't even know what the situation is going to be like in Atlanta. I wouldn't be surprised there are a ton of Knicks fans down there. It's not even about the home court. We've seen teams come back, win the next four straight. It's why you're down 2-0. Because I'm looking at this team and I'm saying, listen, Julius Randle's the reason why they lost the game. He didn't give you much. He's your best player. He scored 15 points. You lost on a floater with 0.9 seconds to go. So if he's just a little bit better, I would think that this Knicks team should be able to take care of business. Michael, if they don't, well then forget about home court. It's just what's going on here. What if Randle's not great again? Is it a conversation that maybe they figured him out, or is there something to be concerned about with him, either mentally or physically? Do you start to creep in? Well, maybe just Atlanta's the better team. The matchup favors them. I think how you lost game one to me, with the extra time off and with Randle having to be better, I think tonight they win. I'm confident that they win. If they don't, then where are the wins coming? How are they doing it? How are they going to win four of the next five when they couldn't win the first two? Especially that atmosphere in game one, and especially with the extra day for what I think the better coach to take advantage of. If they don't do that, Michael, then where are the other four wins coming from?
That's a good way to look at it. If they lose today and none of the problems are solved, then it does become an issue. Here's another worry of mine coming into this game. I want the Knicks to win by like 8 points, because one of the weaknesses on the Knicks, to me, and you can look at it throughout the season too, they don't have that guy. They don't have that guy like Trae Young was that guy to score a point with like 9 seconds left. Julius Randle has done it sometimes. He hasn't done it a lot. Derrick Rose could be that guy. He hit that big shot to tie the game. I understand that. But they don't have that exhilarating star that could break down a defense and drive into the lane and create a shot.
They don't.
That's not really what Julius Randle is. Now, he's hit some big three-pointers, but they have denied him the basketball. They made it difficult for him to see over taller defenders. They've done a good job. Now the Knicks have to answer what the Hawks did. The Hawks have size to throw at Julius Randle. They really do. So the Knicks need to have a little bit of a breather game. Win by eight. Don't have to win on the last second shot, because I worry about on this Knicks team who that last second shot's coming from. That's my point. So I'm pumped up. The DVR's rolling. I will hang this T-shirt right from my TV when I start to watch it at about 11:30 tonight, because I do believe we here, the Knicks are here on this station. You can hear them tonight on 98.7 ESPN. And by the way, if you'd like to consume Islanders Penguins, well, that's on 10:50 today. Are you involved with that, Don?
I am not. Because their face-off is at 6:30. Their pre's at 6.
Oh, wow. Why so early?
Wait, it's
trying to wedge three games in tonight.
That's what she said. It's a 6:30 face-off?
That's right.
Oh, wow. Thank you. Did not realize this.
The Penguins. What a great Penguins fan. The Celtic fan that didn't watch the game and the Penguins fan that didn't know. You know what? Peter, go away.
Oh, I'm sorry. I would have figured it out by the time game time happened. I knew it was tonight. I thought it was 7 o'clock. Don, does that make me a terrible fan to think it was going to be 7? Then you find out at 6:30?
Okay. Yeah, it makes you a hugely terrible fan.
It's unusual to have a 6:30 drop. This is the first one I remember for the Penguins in a playoff game in a very long time.
I mean, you're just living a lie. You've got a Penguin Stanley Cup T-shirt on. You're not even a fan.
Really? I've been a Penguin fan since 1989. That's what I would sound like if I was calling this radio show.
I've been a Yankees fan since 1986.
Thank you. Any more?
I've been a Yankee fan since 1999.
Right.
I've been a Yankee fan since 1946.
Don, do you remember how many of these we have?
At least 30.
It's endless.
I've been all the way back to the early 30s. I got a very warm feeling yesterday going through social media.
All right.
I think it was Instagram.
The Scram, sure.
Right. And is that you at your bar mitzvah?
Who?
They have somebody on a chair in a Penguins jersey.
Oh, that's me at my bar mitzvah then. Yeah, sure. I can't see it yet. I'll see it tomorrow, but yeah.
So, I'm looking at something that you tweeted out, a picture of you on stage. I don't know where it was.
Oh, yeah. Best Buy Theater.
And, Don, the first comment up there was from Miss Hatton.
Oh.
I love that face she wrote.
That made you happy?
It made me happy. It made me believe in the old saying that love is blind, because that's not a great face.
You know, that picture got a lot of compliments. I don't know who you think you are, but there were a lot of positive compliments on that picture.
It doesn't matter the compliments. It matters that Miss Hatton thinks that.
Well, you're right.
I'm crazy about Rosenberg.
Yeah, that was not one of the compliments.
Peter Sucks. That's what I'm saying.
Another person from the chorus. I'm going to try to squeeze into this T-shirt for the next segment. What do you think?
Oh, please. I would love that.
Yeah?
Yes.
You think I should?
The T-shirt or the jersey? Can you do both?
I don't have the jersey with me. I left that at home.
Okay, yeah. Try the T-shirt. Let's see how it looks.
By the way, the price was left on the T-shirt, too. Do you want to guess how much it is? I love a big money prize.
It's that New York We Hear one?
Yep.
I believe we are looking at $40.
$40. Okay, that's your bid. Don?
$35.
Don wins. Peter goes over. The price is $38. Very nice of the Knicks to do that.
I got, but the price tag was on my jersey.
Yeah, mine was. Oh, on the jersey.
The jersey was very pricey.
The jersey's got to be over $100, right?
$140, I think.
Because well, that's play. A real jersey.
I win!
It even has the four Squarespace ad on it.
That's right.
Yeah.
So Peter says $140. Michael?
$110.
Michael wins $129.
I mean, God.
And you're sitting there complaining about size.
Look at that gift they gave you. They handed you $130.
Listen, there's two basketball teams in the city, right? Only one sent us swag. I'm not complaining. I'm just complaining about size. But it was one of the great shows of generosity that you'll ever have. They didn't have to do that. They've been very nice to us all year. They've gotten us great guests. We love the Knicks.
I'm a loyal employee.
Yeah, you work for the Garden.
That's right.
You're on the Knicks, Jace.
I do well.
You do well, don't you?
No, I can't complain.
All right, let's towel off. I'm going to try to squeeze into this T-shirt. It'll be worth tuning in. We'll see how it looks. How do you think it's going to look?
Really fabulous.
Okay, good. Let me run to the bathroom right now. Let's towel off, shower off, And we'll be back with what should be a great visual for the rest of all time. And we'll take your phone calls as well. It's Kay, LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you right here on Yes at 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
You know what? Everybody, apologies are in order. And part of the problem is me, okay? I'm so used to being... Bear, pipe down. I am so used to being a big fat slob that I don't realize that I have lost weight. And Don, I never even look at a large shirt because I usually go for double XL.
Right.
If you look at the screen, I look terrific in this large T-shirt. And there's room and everything.
You do.
I mean, look at this. It's like I was built for it. Thank you, Nix. You knew.
See?
You know me better than me.
Give me 7 minutes and I'll chime in.
Oh, you're going to love it. You are going to love it. Why is Bear barking now? What's going on?
My salads got here faster than I thought they would. And so there he is.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. I'm going to pipe down here.
What a train wreck. Really, what a train wreck. All right, let's go to the phones. Let's go to a Jacob in the Bronx. Jacob.
Hey, Michael. You're being disrespectful to the Eastern Conference, man.
How so?
You're being very disrespectful.
All right, tell me how.
Giannis and the Bucks, they could beat the Nets. Giannis could guard Kevin Durant. PJ Tucker could guard James Harden. Jrue Holiday could guard Kyrie Irving. And I guarantee the Bucks is going to beat them.
You guarantee it?
Game seven.
Acting like they have the formula, and then
he's
you're
laughing.
Telling me they're going to beat them in seven.
He's goofing us. They haven't even beat Miami yet, Milwaukee. So why all of a sudden you got them beating the Nets?
It's 2-0. It's 2-0 right now with Miami and Milwaukee. They
so you Jake, you just don't like the Nets. You just don't like the Nets. Am I right?
No.
You're a Knicks fan.
No, I like the Nets. I really do. I just think. They don't have any defense, and they don't have no big man that could guard Giannis. Giannis could play in the post, and he could play outside.
No, so he can't. Like, no. See, now there's where you're wrong, Jacob. He can't play outside. He doesn't have an outside shot. That's the problem with the Bucks. He doesn't have an outside shot. So I guess you haven't seen Nick Claxton play. He can't guard him, right? And a combination of Blake Griffin can't guard him. Maybe DeAndre Jordan comes off the bench and gives five fouls against him. There's no way they could beat the Bucks. Now, am I saying that the Bucks have no chance to win? No. I think the Nets are built to just steamroll everybody. And if they don't, it's their fault. They didn't do the job. Who exactly can guard Kevin Durant? That's what I'd like to know. Who can guard Kevin Durant? Please answer me that question. You're saying, I think he said that Giannis can guard Durant. Let's see. Let's see him stop Kevin Durant, because this guy's one of the great scorers of all time. And who exactly can stop James Harden? And who can stop Kyrie Irving? Maybe you could stop them from getting 45 points, but you're not stopping them. Now, when you're talking about, are they good defensively? No, they're not good defensively, and we said that that's the issue. But can they play around it? Can they score 130 points? They'll score 125 in their sleep. So that means that the Milwaukee Bucks are going to have to score 130. Let's see them do it. Let's see them do it against what everybody thinks is a porous defense. Kevin Durant. Have you watched NBA basketball? Who gets stopped?
Yeah, it's interesting. He thought you disrespected the Eastern Conference. All his focus was on Milwaukee. I would give the Sixers a better chance than Milwaukee. Not saying that they would beat the Nets. I would give them the better chance than Milwaukee.
Well, I can't believe, Michael, you really fit into that shirt.
I look terrific, right?
That's a large?
Yeah.
Wow, look at you.
It's a major flex for me. And you know what allowed me to do it? The New York Knickerbocker organization.
You know, and Jimmy, now you got me thinking, should I try it, Michael?
Jimmy D probably told them, I know, Michael, he's a large. He thinks he's an extra large or double XL because he's got a fat man's complex because he's always been fat. He's not fat anymore. Give him the large. And Jimmy's right. Jimbo, thank you.
Should I try it?
I think you should. I think that you're bigger than me, though.
Hold on, Don. I say you do it right now.
Well, I don't have it on. It's upstairs.
We'll wait. I got to see this. Now, this would be interesting if all of us could fit the large. Could be life-changing. Now, Michael, how's that going to be after a wash, though?
I think it's going to be great.
Really?
Yeah, I've actually got room, except, you know, you want the guns to show up a little bit. Let me flex a little bit here so you could see the guns and how they're accentuated by the, you know, by the T-shirt. It's a good look for me.
I don't know if I think this has a post wash and dry situation for you though.
I'm gonna even let the guns dance a little. You've never seen me.
Wait, the guns can dance?
Oh yeah, they can dance.
Are we getting tickets to the gun show, Peter?
Yeah. Front row, baby.
Look at them. They're both dancing.
I can't wait to see this tomorrow.
Let's go back to the moments. Don, where'd you grow up?
Hawthorne.
Mike, you're next on the K Show.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Long great. How are you?
Football as well.
Good, Mike.
Hey, before I talk about the Nets, I wanted to talk about Mr. LaGreca and what his mother doing what he did. That's we all grew up together in the same town, and that's his dad looking down on him, making sure he does the right thing. I do the same thing. I have two other brothers, and when something happens, you just do it and stop worrying about everybody else trying to get it done. So good job, Don, and we're always around the corner if you need us.
But, thank you so much, Mike.
Mike, let me stop you there for a minute. It's a beautiful sentiment. So his dad's not looking down on Dave to make Dave do it. He's just making Don do it.
That's right. He knows what's best.
No, just wants to get it done.
No, it's the oldest son syndrome. That's kind of what we did and how we grew up. I know Don's father. What a great guy. And I just understand exactly, instead of waiting around, your dad worked a bunch of jobs like my dad did, and you put your head down, you do it, and then because by the time it gets done, you wait for everybody else. It's going to be your mother's going to be sweating her you know what off, and then she's going to be complaining. You don't want to hear it. So
that's right.
But again, Don, we're right around the corner. If she ever needs anything, we'll offer over.
Thank you so much.
What a guy.
But with the Nets, they're unstoppable as far as I'm concerned, and I haven't really watched that much of them because the NBA turned me off this year for a number of reasons. But watching them, they're just not a likable team. They're great. They're unbelievable. But they're going to win the championship, and I'll say it right now, I won't even clap for them because I just think that they're such a bought team, and other teams have been bought before, but they're just not a likable team. And it's tough because they are incredibly talented. I'm not talking about their abilities. I mean, Durant and Kyrie is one of the most unbelievably gifted players I've seen in my 40 years of watching basketball. But the Nets are they're not a fun, they're not a nice team to watch. They're not a nice bunch of guys. But
Mike, they're not warm and cuddly. It doesn't mean that they're not nice guys. I mean, Kyrie does a lot of charitable things and gives away a lot of money. He doesn't want you to like him. He doesn't care if you like him. They're not warm and cuddly. I agree. They're not a lovable bunch. But, boy, can they play. And as I was driving to the stadium today, and there was a lot of traffic, so I had a lot of time to think, I thought about something that Peter Vesey said when he scorched the earth on Friday with us. It's okay if a GM put together a great team. But the fact that the players did it, that's what everybody gets upset about. I mean, every GM tries to put together an unbelievable team. And some of them do it, and nobody hates them for it. They go, well, that's just business. You know, that's what the GM's supposed to do. But when the players take control and they put themselves together, then it's wrong. Why? Why is it okay for a GM to put together a super team, but not the players themselves?
Well, because a general manager has to trade or entice free agents to come here, right? The part of the Nets situation is that one of them orchestrated leaving Houston the way that he did.
Oh, that I agree.
You know,
that
I think that's what put it over the top.
I don't think people liked it when Kyrie and KD came here either.
Yeah, but that's normal. I mean, I think people don't like super teams, but this was off the charts when they were able to add Harden in the way that they added Harden. I mean, so I think that separates them from every other super team, right? Because even though there was a big three in Miami, one of them was already in Miami.
But like when Jerry West put together the Lakers, right?
Right.
Kobe wasn't drafted by the Lakers. He traded for him, and he traded for Shaq. But that was okay. But if Kobe and Shaq had gotten together and both came to the Lakers, then it would have been a bad deal. But the fact that Jerry West did it, that's cool.
Yeah, but again, that's the GM's job. And a GM isn't allowed. See, this is the difference, Michael, and it shows you the difference in the job, is that if I'm a general manager and I decide to go talk to somebody who's under contract, I'm going to get fined by the league. But a player can go out there, party during the offseason when somebody who's under contract and convince him, when you become a free agent, come here. Like, so they have that, that's the thing that rubs people the wrong way. They don't get in trouble for that, right? A general manager, an owner says something, they'll get fined by the league. But a player can go court anybody he wants and decide we're all going to get together when you become a free agent. That was step one. And then that was okay, although it rubbed people the wrong way because a general manager can't do that. But now to be able to get somebody that's actually under contract and get him to leave his situation the way that Harden did puts it over the top. But there is a difference between a general manager putting together a super team where he's under rules and constraints than a player can.
But the players aren't breaking any rules. I mean, what Harden did I think was unethical, and that was not part of the grand plan. That just developed. But I just think a lot of it has to do that the general public, the fans, don't like to see the players have this kind of power. They don't. They don't mind if a GM does it, but if a player does it, it rubs them the wrong way because they think the players should just play. You get assigned to a team and just play. So when the players have this power now and they realize they have this power because there's no way to stop them, that rubs people the wrong way.
Well, but you can't see why that would rub somebody the wrong way?
But why? What's the difference?
Because as a general manager, I can't do that.
You can make trades for guys. So these Kyrie and KD didn't break any rules. They became free agents. They didn't break any rules.
But they could have conversations about getting together where a general manager can't call Kyrie when he was in Boston and say, listen, the second you become a free agent, you're going to come sign with me. If the league found that out, they'd get fined.
Right.
But a player can do it, nothing happens. I think, I honestly, I would have no problem if the league said that we're going to start fining players if they do that now. Now, I don't know how you govern it. Right. I'm not even sure how you govern it when owners and general managers do it.
Right. And then who's to know that GMs don't do it?
So. Well, obviously, something happens, Michael, when on July 1st, a guy makes a life-changing decision in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Like midnight, July 1st comes, bang, all of a sudden he signs some, you know, 7-year contract someplace. I think there might have been conversations before then. But if that's ever found out, then guess what? They get fined. Well, Magic Johnson just makes who did he make a comment about? It was just like he complimented somebody and got fined by the NBA. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yep. Most importantly, do you have a list again?
I do.
A Daily Don?
I do.
And is it good?
Well, you have to be the judge. You're the arbiter of good.
No, I'm not the arbiter.
That's a new nickname for Michael, by the way.
AOG?
Arbiter of, wow, that was fast.
Yeah. It's not hard to come up with initials of words. Not like the Pythagorean theorem. This portion of the Michael K Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer. Try Truly Hard Seltzer, 100 calories, 1 gram of sugar, 5% alcohol, and 27 different flavors. Truly Hard Seltzer Beverage Company. Please drink responsibly. It's Kay LaGreca Rosenberg and you, the Daily Don, coming up too in a moment on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Wow. It's me! I'm back! And guess what? It's another Don segment!
We're doing the list, Michael. I don't care if you don't like it.
The Daily Don!
I'll fight to the death for this list.
It's the Daily Don Show. He makes lists.
Take it away, Donnie!
Alright, I brought this up yesterday. And Ernie Suggs on Twitter suggested it as a top five, and I like it.
By the way, the shirt looks terrific on you.
Oh, thank you. Again, I wouldn't say it's comfortable. It's not roomy by any stretch. But for me to be able to fit and not look like the Incredible Hulk in a large makes me feel pretty good.
Terrific.
Top five quintessential New York sitcoms.
I'll go first. Got to be number one, Seinfeld.
Yep, good pull, Michael. Seinfeld. To the point,
easy.
And I've had this conversation many times. I'm shocked that show worked outside of New York. It was so New York.
They didn't think it would.
You know, I was watching the other day where George is marveling he was able to find a parking spot in front of the hospital. Like, is somebody in Minnesota going to get that? Like, is somebody in the suburbs, like anywhere out in the country, going to go, why is he obsessing over finding a parking space? That's so New York. And yet they were able to really make it work. But it was in almost every episode, the fact that they were New Yorkers, that they lived in New York, constantly showing the subway. Seinfeld, number one. Great poll, Michael. Great poll.
The Odd Couple.
The Odd Couple is what I used in reference yesterday. So good memory, Peter. The Odd Couple.
Thank you.
Just because of Oscar Madison being a sports writer, so a lot of sports references, him walking around with the Met hat. They were going to Knick games, Ranger games, Yankee games, constantly talking about being in New York, showing New York City. Odd Couple, number two.
All in the Family.
Under consideration, I have it out, Michael, and I was debating between two shows. But I was talking to Andrew. And I thought he'd be a good person to talk to. And he certainly knows the All in the Family. Didn't realize it was in Queens.
Not that bright.
Well, no, it's listen, not that
Andrew's
big a part
bright.
Of it.
But listen, they were New Yorkers. He worked in New York. I'm not sure it used it as much to say quintessential because of like the show went in a lot of different places.
Although Ethel's voice.
There's no Ethel in the, it's Edith.
Although Edith's voice.
Well, they were New Yorkers.
God, Edith.
And the quality of the show is right there with Seinfeld. I mean, it's one of the epic shows of all time, but I have it on the outside.
How about Friends?
Friends was the one I was batting between Friends and All in the Family, but when you really think about it, it used New York. They were yuppie New Yorkers. I have it at number five.
Can't wait for tomorrow, by the way. The reunion on HBO Max.
It's tomorrow?
Oh, yeah.
Zero. To me, it's one of the most overrated shows in the history of sitcoms. Doesn't mean it's not good. I just don't see why it's held up in such a lore for me.
Well, I'm not going to get into an argument with you about this because it'll get violent. Anyway, how about the Honeymooners?
Honeymooners. That's also a great poll, and that is number three. Of course, he was a bus driver. They used New York as much as they could, obviously, with limited abilities in the 50s. Basically, it would be just... one or two sets, but that was quintessential New York.
Let me.
Jackie Gleason statue is outside of Port Authority.
Let me close it for you now, because if it's not this, you might as well just retire the list in general. The Jeffersons.
Thought about it.
Oh my!
Who are you taking
out? We'll find out.
But
no,
I don't
Jeffersons.
Know how quintessential New York it was.
We're moving on up to the East Side.
I understand it's in the song. It's not top five show set in New York, but listen, he was an upscale dry cleaner. They were in the apartment, but I don't know how essential it was to being New York City.
His whole personality, the neighbors, everything. I don't know. That's okay. Okay.
All right. So there's a couple I could choose from here, and I want to get it right. Can you give me a hint? Is it recent or distant? It's not. Okay, then I'll go with Taxi.
Taxi was definitely considered.
Oh, wow.
But I went with something else instead. I hope you'll agree, because I love the show. I found out a lot about New York through this show.
You went with Barney Miller, then?
I went with Barney Miller at four. I mean, I knew what Bellevue was because of Barney Miller. Because that's where they would take everybody after they got arrested. They were a mental patient. Got to send them to Bellevue. They threw out addresses all the time. Such an underrated show, Michael. I'm surprised it's not at syndication more than it should. It is awesome. But, you know, Taxi was considered, but I went with Barney Miller. So I've got Friends at five, Barney Miller at four, Honeymooners three, Odd Couple two, Seinfeld one. Other shows that I consider King of Queens. I also considered Spin City.
Everybody Loves Raymond.
That's Long Island more than New York, right? Well, he wrote for Newsday. They lived on Long Island.
It's still New York. Man.
No. I said New York City.
Oh.
Quintessential New York City shows. Andrew, I need a ruling on that.
It has
Everybody
to be five
loves
boroughs.
Raymond's Long Island.
I thought Raymond was Long Island. Is that what you're talking about?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
How about the Cosby Show as a consideration?
No.
How about Different Strokes?
Yeah.
Again, all those shows, if I told you, no, Michael, that was actually Chicago.
Well, no, that wouldn't be true with the Cosby Show, though. They're pivotal episodes about the kids going to the village and being in the city. Like, that was a thing.
I don't, but again, that show still works if they were in Detroit.
I mean, all the shows could still work.
No. the New York City almost has to be a character.
Seinfeld, I'd say, is really the one that would not work. It would not be the same show. I don't know
if it was in Peoria. I don't think Seinfeld would.
Yeah, Seinfeld for sure. I don't know about the other ones. But then again, half the shows you have on the list I've never even seen.
Well, why is that my problem?
I didn't say it was your problem. I'm just saying I can't weigh in on
those. What show haven't you seen? I'd like to know.
Barney Miller?
You've never seen a Barney Miller episode.
Not a second.
You've never seen Abe Vigoda in Barney Miller.
Never. Not even for one split second of time. Heard great things. Barney Miller's supposed to be a great guy. Abe Vigoda, legendary name. Andrew, you ever seen any Barney Miller?
No, not a second.
What else have you seen?
I don't know. It's
I'm not proud.
I'm not being proud. Fault.
No, I'm being honest. I'm just being honest.
What I found funny, Michael, like I was talking to Andrew, and like Andrew will throw out that's before my time. Well, The Odd Couple was really before my time. I didn't watch The Odd Couple when it was on. Did you?
Yeah, but Odd Couple and Barney Miller weren't even in regular reruns for us.
Right, Don. The Odd Couple is what I said was before my time. For you, it was, what, 5 to 10 years before your time? For me, it was 30 years before my time. There's a difference there.
Well, you did leave out one that's huge that Mace just brought up on Twitter. Okay. I Love Lucy.
That's pretty big.
Again,
New York.
Well, they were in New York.
Right.
But who are you taking out? Who are you taking out?
But I Love Lucy.
I Love Lucy works in Chicago.
No, it doesn't.
Sure it does.
No.
Why not?
It just doesn't.
They go to the fights. That happens in Chicago.
They don't.
He can have a club in Chicago.
No, couldn't have a club like Ricky had.
How do you know?
No. How about How I Met Your Mother?
I don't put that in the pantheon of these shows.
How about King of Queens?
Because I wanted to strangle each character dead by the time the final season started, and you did too.
Oh,
That lasted 5 years longer than it should, and I only stuck with it because I wanted to find out who the damn mother was.
And then it was a terrible ending. Awful. Terrible. It was one of the worst endings ever in TV history. They should be ashamed of themselves. And now they're running it back, How I Met Your Father.
All right, good.
From the mother's perspective.
Wait, hold on. So in the end,
I'm not putting that on general principle.
Hold on. So in the end, do you want to apologize?
For what?
Who?
So wait, in the end, you didn't like the show?
I hated it, the end. Hated it. It just became an irritant.
Yeah.
So, but you guys used to fight with me about how great the show was. And I used to say there's not enough money in the world.
We never fought with you about how great Welcome Back. Welcome Back Cotter, by the way?
Yeah, but they could have been inner city kids in Chicago.
No, they couldn't have.
Sure they could have.
No. Nobody talked like Vinnie Barbarino in Chicago.
Nobody talked like Vinnie Barbarina in Brooklyn. Peter.
Yeah, the Juan Epstein character
doesn't
live.
It was Big Bang Theory we argued with you.
Oh, it was Big Bang. Big Bang.
Yeah,
oh
and God, that's, in, that's in Northern California. Stop yourself.
Who cares?
You don't even know what we argue with you about.
He just wants that. He's an irritant.
He is.
Big Bang.
You're arguing for the sake of arguing. You
he
actually just right now wanted to get into a verbal altercation over a show that you had wrong.
I confused Big Bang and How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah, it's always been your issue. 1-800-919.
Excuse me? Well, it's better than How I Banged Your
Yeah, that'd be a great show if they combined the titles.
You combine one of the streaming services. I don't think it could be on network.
Oh, God.
Dear God.
Come on, I think we'd all watch that show.
Depends who the mother is.
I think Peter does watch that show on Pornhub. Anyway, we'll be back in just a moment.
With Carlin.
To get ourselves even more trouble. Yeah, with Carlin. You know, people talking about super teams and how they hate it. Well, I have the perfect example of a team that you should despise, but they're not despised. Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
All right, a couple of notes to get out of the way. Today's Yankee starting lineup is brought to you by Bigelow Tea. DJ LeMahieu is back. He's at first base leading off. Rougned Odor at second, bat second. Aaron Judge, the DH, will hit third. Gio Urshela at third base cleans up. Gleyber Torres, the shortstop, will bat fifth. Batting sixth is center fielder Brett Gardner. Clint Frazier's in right field batting seventh. Batting eighth and catching is Gary Sanchez. And Miguel Andujar is in left field, and he is going to bat ninth with Domingo Germán on the mound. Pitching for the Yankees is Germán. Pitching for the Blue Jays is a rookie making his major league debut, Alek Manoah. Big guy, throws gas. Should be interesting to watch him. So his major league debut. That's today's Yankee starting lineup. Brought to you by Bigelow Tea. Bigelow Tea is a proud supporter of the Michael K Show and the official hot tea of Joe Torre and the Yankees. No. Dominic Smith was not in the lineup that Don gave you for the Mets. Luis Rojas just said he banged his knee up yesterday. That's why he's out of the lineup. So just what they need, another injury.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, contusion to his knee, but he doesn't think it's serious. Just might be the one day.
Yeah, they didn't think J.D. Davis was serious, too.
He knows how to slide. It's basically falling down.
Also, an NFL legend decided to hang it up after 24 seasons. Adam Vinatieri retires. He earned $51.1 million in his career as a kicker. Only one kicker earned more, Don and Peter. Who's that other kicker?
I'll just go by longevity. Morton Anderson.
No.
No, it's too long ago. It's Gostkowski.
No.
Janikowski.
Yeah.
There you go. That's where I was going next. Out of
53.2. Just a kick. Love it. Vinatieri only played with the Patriots and the Colts. Had some of the biggest kicks in NFL history. All right, so there was a rumor going around that Mitchell Robinson might be a game-time decision to play tonight. Now, he's been out for the longest time. The most recent injury is the broken foot. I guess he could be available to come back shortly, but the rumor that was out there all over social media that it could be tonight in Game 2 against the Hawks. But the Knicks have squelched that he is listed as out on their list. Emmanuel quickly had excitedly tweeted out hope that he was going to come back. And then I told you earlier that Mitchell Robinson also tweeted out the googly eyes emoji as if, you know, what's happening here? Maybe he saw that and that was his reply to that. But that could be a big addition because they're a little short on size, but if Noel is okay, if Nerlens Noel is okay, combined with Taj Gibson, they're all right. They're all right. They've filled in capably, very capably, for Mitchell Robinson. So I don't think that that's the reason they would win or lose tonight. It would be a nice surprise. It would be a nice jump start for the team. But the bottom line is this. The Knicks have to get production out of Julius Randle. The way he tormented the Hawks in the three games during the regular season, that's what they need. They need over 30 points from him. They need one of his triple-doubles. It's going to be interesting to see once we get the Knicks starting lineup. I don't know if we'll get that in short order, but once we get that starting lineup, it's going to be interesting to see if Thibodeau continues to defy everyone and continues to start Elfrid Payton. Now, you can say, well, what's the big deal if Payton plays 8 minutes? Well, it's no big deal. So why start him? Unless you're trying to prove some kind of point. He has been a non-factor for over a month. Now, if a basketball player could be in a slump, that's Elfrid Payton. He's not a bad player. He's a serviceable point guard, but he has been a bad player, I'd say, for a month and a half. And in the last game, game one, he played 4 minutes and 15 seconds in the first quarter and then was taken out and then never returned until the third quarter. At the beginning of the third quarter, he played 3 minutes and 45 seconds. So you do the math, that's 8 minutes of playing time and then never returned. So what's the point exactly? Now, you could say, well, what could happen in 4 minutes? Well, they fell behind by 11 points. Now, did they fall behind because of him? No, I can't say that. But if you have a guy that's totally non-productive, you're essentially playing 4-on-5. Why would you do that? What is the purpose behind it? And when you talk to Thibodeau about it, he starts talking in circles and gives you gobbledygook that make no sense. So, I mean, I think it would be a statement if he started a guy like Ntilikina. Ntilikina, you're not going to get much from him offensively, and you're not going to run much through him. But don't expect the guy to come off the bench ice cold and then defend against Trae Young at the end of the game. If you play him a little bit, give him some daylight early so he could get into the game and maybe slow Trae Young down. Because Ntilikina, if he could do anything, he is a good defender. And even if you don't go the Ntilikina route, Derrick Rose, Emmanuel Quickley, there are guys that you could put there. Instead, you continue to insist to play Elfrid Payton. And during the regular season, it's kind of cute because they defied the odds and they continued to win. But every single game is so big. And, you know, I don't think that the series would be over If they lost tonight, it would be exponentially more difficult to win four of the next five, and in all likelihood they wouldn't do it. But I wouldn't pronounce them dead if that at 10:30 tonight they lost this game. I want them to win the game. I want this to be a fun series, and I think the Hawks have a chance to win the series. The Knicks have a chance to win the series. But give me something. Don't lose tonight. Yeah. Give me something. Step up and win tonight.
I need to see it, Michael, but I think they're cooked if they lose tonight. And the biggest reason, even more than Randall rebounding, meaning rebounding from his performance, not actually rebounding on the court, is you've given Thibodeau, who's one of the best coaches in this league, an extra day to make the adjustments that you just outlined and not have that happen again. And if they lose tonight, then the adjustments didn't work, and now I got to really wonder how all of a sudden you're going to win four of the next five games.
Yeah, I'm not calling the series, but this is one of those, Michael K. can't call it a must-win, but it is. You can't. This team is too young, too inexperienced to really handle getting in a hole 0-2, losing both their games at home. This is a high-pressure situation tonight, and to that point, I'm with you 1,000%. I don't see how you gamble with any time where you're not putting your best foot forward. And that's essentially what they're doing when Peyton's playing.
Yeah, and I don't get why they're doing that. It doesn't make any sense. Now, something that's going to be interesting to see is that Trae Young was abused by the crowd in game one. And then he decided to embrace that abuse and become the villain. He is never going to hear, or he has never heard anything like he's going to hear tonight. Does that make him wilt? I doubt it. But listen to what Derrick Rose said about what Trae Young's going to go through.
That's basketball. Like, when the league got so soft, bro, like, that's basketball, man. Like, he come in, he played a great game, and the crowd's supposed to do that. His reaction supposed to be that way, and it's supposed to amp up and bring the atmosphere, the environment to where it is right now. And, I mean, that's what I'm used to. I've been in series where drinks were thrown on, like, parents, like, people's moms, and, like, you on the court, and you see your mom get a beer, like, splashed on, like, that's the environment I'm used to, and now it's a little different. So that's all part of the game when you got both sides fighting for something and you've been working your butt off all year, and not all year, but summertime when nobody's watching you in the gym working on your game, and you seeing the results of it, and not only in the regular season but in the playoffs. And if you want to talk shit, it's hard, but next game it's going to be tougher, and the environment is going to create a great atmosphere for some great basketball.
I think it's going to be an unbelievable atmosphere tonight, and it's going to tell us a lot about Trae Young. Because when you embrace the villain role and then you actually excel, well, you've kind of crossed the Rubicon. Then you become that guy. That's what Reggie Miller did. Reggie Miller was reviled at the Garden. Did that slow him down? No. And if it doesn't slow down Trae Young, because I think there's going to be vitriol today like he's never heard before. And just a quick aside, there's 12,000 people at Yankee Stadium yesterday for the Blue Jay game, right? And just, I guess in the second inning, they started the Bleep Altuve chant. And I think, Don, that as long as we live, that's going to be the new Pot fan chant.
Yeah.
It is. Out of nowhere. I mean, Altuve's not within 3,000 miles of here, 2,500 miles, and they're chanting that. And again, now it seems like it's okay to use that word. And New Yorkers could use that word. So now that it's okay, we've crossed that Rubicon where chanting the F word by a group of people is accepted. That's all Trae Young's going to hear tonight. How does he handle it?
And he didn't get a chance to do, because those histrionics in front of the fans happened after the game-winning shot.
Right.
It was 0.9 left.
Right.
So he loved it. He quieted the crowd, and then he said a lot of things after the game. So he will hear it tonight. And now we'll see. Is he Reggie Miller, or is he somebody who's going to wilt under that kind of pressure? Also, I'm looking up stats, Michael. Landofbasketball.com says there's been a total of 426 playoff series where a team won the first two games of that series. and have won 93.7% of the time.
And I wonder if that goes even higher when they've won the first two games on the road.
It's going to be very, very difficult.
So go out and win tonight. How about that?
Have to. And let's be real. We need Julius Randle to really be regular season Julius Randle. There weren't a lot of times this year when he had two in a row without being solid.
Well, the one thing that you could take away from game one, remember the game that he had after the All-Star break? It was one of his worst games of the year. He played 71 regular season games. He missed one because of injury. And after that game, he told everybody, for some reason, my whole career, after a long layoff, I'm terrible. So let's give him game one and say, okay, that was a long layoff, and he was terrible. Now let's see him return to form. Also, cute moment yesterday during practice, they had his little son come out and present him with the Most Improved Player Award in the NBA, which he was well-deserving of. Let's hope that if you gave out an award between game one and game two, he would get that tonight too, because he needs to be the Most Improved Player from game one.
Now, just looking at it, it's happened 27 times, but five times since 2016. Last time it happened, Raptors dropped the first two against the Bucks in the Eastern Conference Finals and went on to win 4-2. They won four straight. Peter, remember the Cavaliers did it to your Celtics in 2018. And then in 2017, the Celtics did it to the Bulls, losing the first two and then winning the next four. I'd have to look and see where those games were. But I would think it's close to impossible to lose the first two at home and come back and win the series.
Well, if you look back at the Randle game logs, guys, he bounces back. If he has a game where he was in the low teens, he's bounced back basically every single time the entire season.
So you have that in front of you. What did he do after the All-Star game? I remember that being a terrible game.
It was. So the All-Star game, the Thursday after, they lost to Milwaukee by 33 points. He played 29 minutes. He scored 7 points.
And then the next game?
26, following game 33.
All right, Anthony DiComo, who covers the Mets, tweeted out that former Mets manager Mickey Callaway has been placed on MLB's ineligible list. Callaway cannot apply for reinstatement until after the 2022 season. I have concluded that Mr. Callaway violated MLB's policies, Commissioner Rob Manfred said in a statement. Now, I have heard rumors, guys, that I would never say on the air because I couldn't substantiate them, but rumors that if there's so much more to this story, that if it all came out, people would be absolutely shocked and dismayed and blown away. And that's why this took as long as it did. I mean, there's a lot of tentacles in this story that would embarrass a lot of people. Again, I wish that I could substantiate some of it and report it, but it's wild stuff, really wild stuff. So Callaway's gone until at least 2022. After 2022, that's a significant penalty, man. Now I want to see the team that actually would take a chance to hire him after that. Talk about having a scarlet letter.
I think you can go without hiring him, Michael.
Right.
He wasn't that special to begin with, so.
Well, he was a pretty good pitching coach.
Pretty good.
He was a terrible manager.
Shouldn't get you a job if the things you're saying or not saying publicly happened. I think if I'm an organization, I think I can find somebody better rather than having to go down that road.
Yeah, I wonder. The guy that got fired from the Mets, what was his name? I don't know if he's going to get another job.
No, I don't think any of these guys are going to get other jobs.
No,
how
you
do
know
you
who
justify
would?
It?
A player would.
Well, I was just saying, the better the player. You know, this isn't hiring Mark McGwire as a hitting coach, you know, after all the steroid allegations. This is a completely different situation. Now, I was quickly doing the math. 2017, Peter, Celtics lost the first two games at home and went on to beat the Bulls in six, won four straight. So that's the last time a team lost the first two games at home and won the series.
So, Peter, I guess that doesn't look real good for the Clippers, huh? Boy, have they laid an egg.
Sheesh.
Now, that's going to have an impact on the Knicks, and I'm going to tell you why.
Ooh.
If the Clippers end up losing in the first round to the Mavs, you know that Kawhi Leonard has an out in his contract? Does he say, I'm out of here? And the Knicks have $50 million in cap room.
Wow.
So they wouldn't have to trade anybody to get a big-time star. But the other question is, you go to L.A., you bring along Paul George, and you completely fail at a level that Doc Rivers gets fired, and now you're getting whacked in the first round. Has your star fallen? But I think the Knicks would still take him, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, that's a big-time player. You team up with Julius Randle and R.J. Barrett. You could dream a little bit about maybe winning two rounds, maybe. That's how good that guy is.
I mean, listen, that Clippers team is not loaded. You know,
Leonard did have 41 points last night.
Yeah, I mean, he's still Kawhi Leonard. He's 14 of 21, 4 for 7 from 3, 9 for 10 from the line. He's still Kawhi Leonard. That team, to me, is, I don't know, I think people's expectations of them are a bit high, and they're the higher seed against the Mavericks. And right. The Mavericks, remember how slow the Mavericks started?
Yeah, we thought that the Knicks would get a lottery pick.
Yeah, that's how bad the Mavs started. They were completely checked out the first 30 games or so. So their record's a little bit misleading. And they may have, I mean, they have a guy who's in the conversation for the best player in basketball.
I wonder if he would opt out or he'd be so embarrassed that he had failed so miserably in L.A. And also, you know, he got Paul George to go there. They might blow up the whole thing. And then would Kawhi then just say, you know what, I'll go to the Lakers.
I'll tell you what, Michael. If I'm Kawhi Leonard, I have a tough time being embarrassed about anything. He's already proven quite a bit.
Yeah, I mean, if he didn't have a ring, it'd be a different story.
Right. Here's a statement from Mickey Callaway. My family and I fully support MLB's strong stance against harassment and discrimination and are grateful to the commissioner and his office for their thorough investigation. I apologize to the women who shared with investigators any interaction that made them feel uncomfortable. To be clear, I never intended to make anyone feel this way and didn't understand that these interactions might do that or violate MLB policies. However, those are my own blind spots, and I take responsibility for the consequences. In my 25 years of professional baseball, I have never taken for granted the privilege of being even a small part of this great game of ours. To say I regret my past poor choices would be an understatement. I remain hopeful that I can return to baseball when eligible at the conclusion of next season, but for now I plan to work on my own shortcomings and repairing any damage I have caused with my colleagues and particularly my family.
I mean, it's a fine statement, I think.
It's not a bad statement, and you know, I would never even want to be in a position of defending him, but I just think that he kind of falls under the heading of being a dog. I don't think he really thought he was like, in his soul, he didn't think he was doing anything wrong. He was just being a dog. And it was his foolishness to not realize he was doing something wrong. But I just think that he was just, hey, I'm a good-looking guy, and I'm going to try to get every woman I could get. Shame on him. We'll see. Again, he's not eligible to come back until after next year. That's a long time to be away. All right, before we take a break, let's take a look at This Day in Yankee History, brought to you by Woodbridge by Robert Mondavi. We go to 2006. Derek Jeter, with a dribbler up the third baseline for an infield single off KC's Scott Ellerton, becomes the eighth player in Yankee history to collect 2,000 career hits. The 31-year-old shortstop joins Yogi Berra, Lou Gehrig, Joe DiMaggio, Mickey Mantle, Don Mattingly, Babe Ruth, and Bernie Williams in reaching that milestone. And, of course, Derek went on to become the only Yankee to get 3,000 hits.
With an exclamation point.
I've heard that. That's This Day in Yankee History, brought to you by Woodbridge, a proud sponsor of the New York Yankees. Woodbridge by Robert Mondavi, making classic wine for over 40 years. So we're waiting on information on Corey Kluber, how serious the shoulder problem is. Waiting on information regarding Noah Syndergaard, who had to leave the game yesterday because of pain in the elbow, the surgically repaired elbow. And we want to talk to you about the Knicks.
Sure.
And the Hawks tonight. That's why I'm wearing this fine shirt that the Knicks sent me. We fight. We grind. We fam.
Keep
we
going.
We believe. We belong.
Yep.
We here.
And we also want to mention that John Starks is going to be a guest of DCR at 7:30 a.m. tomorrow.
Okay.
John Starks, DiPietro, Canty, Rothenberg, 7:30.
Breaking down the big Knicks win tomorrow morning, we hope.
That'd be nice. Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
All right, so if you just joined us, tonight's Yankees game is rained out. It will be made up as part of a single admission doubleheader starting at 4:05. So, Yes's coverage will start at 3, which unfortunately means that we will only be a television vehicle tomorrow for an hour and a half, unfortunately. But we'll be on the radio the entire time. So, a doubleheader tomorrow, Yankees and the Blue Jays. There's bad weather in the forecast right now. There's not a cloud in the sky, and it's sunny at the stadium, but they've looked ahead, and they know that it's going to rain. So there you have it.
It better rain.
What are you going to do if it doesn't?
I'm going to have a conversation with someone because they're taking my guy tomorrow now, and what a day for you. So you have to go to the Bronx today, set up, do everything there, have the game get canceled without a drop in the sky,
yep.
And find out you're working a doubleheader tomorrow. We lose you for most of the show.
But you guys are great, and it becomes a radio vehicle, and you love it. And
That's not the point. I don't like you being treated this way.
I back Peter. It better rain.
It better rain.
So you're praying for rain right now?
No, I can handle it either way. I'm just saying. They'll be heard from. Treat my guy like that.
This is not about Michael K.
Oh, sure. You should be considered.
No, that's not even a thought. When they got in that room, do you think they thought for a second about me? And they shouldn't.
No, they probably didn't. But
now
still.
we are waiting as we speak. Aaron Boone should be talking soon, or if he might be talking now. No, I'm looking at the media, and they're not looking into their computer where they do the Zoom. But Aaron Boone is going to notify us on what the deal is with Corey Kluber. Everything I'm reading from people around the game is they think it's not a terrible situation, where it might be just an IL situation to calm things down, that it's not something that would knock him out for the whole year. And since Don knows I'm a glass half full guy, if it's just an IL situation, we have to put him on ice for a month. That's the best thing that could happen to him.
Mm.
That's the best thing long-term for the Yankees. So let's say when he comes back, he returns to what he was. Then all of a sudden, your fears of having him start 32 games and pitch 200 innings, they're gone. You've taken that month and a half out of the equation, and you can probably keep him for all that time right through October. So if it's nothing serious where they could work out the problem that he has and just IL him for a little bit, it's almost like you couldn't plan it better. Now, there's one thing that Yankee fans don't want to hear, and the Yankees don't want to hear either. There's no guarantee you make the playoffs this year. So, losing Kluber for a month and a half, there's got to be somebody of equal efficacy that's going to take over for him. Because, Don, you take a look at the Red Sox and the Rays, they don't look like they're going away. And there's only two wild cards in this league. Are they both going to come out of the American League East? They might. But they might not. So there's no automatic entry into the playoffs. You got to win enough games. Now, in the National League East with the Mets, Don, 90 wins could get you the division title. Now, I don't think any wild cards coming out of the NL East. I think in the American League East, you're going to have to win at least 97 games, 98 games to win that division. Wouldn't you
agree?
Yeah,
the good news is it might only take like high 80s to win the division. The bad news is you have no
chance.
Wild card.
Right.
And because right now the Mets are in first place, so they're one of the division leaders. The two wild card teams are the Dodgers, who are 12 games over 500, and the Giants, who are 10 games over. And then you've got the Cubs, 3 over, and then Atlanta, Milwaukee at 500. So there's a drop-off. Now, I don't know how legit San Francisco is. They got swept by the Dodgers, who right now are red hot. They've won 8 in a row, but then they went to Arizona and won easily 8-0. So we'll see how real the San Francisco team is. I don't love their bullpen, but I still think Atlanta's going to be heard from. They've won 4 in a row. They're back to 500. And when are the Mets going to get healthy, Michael? When? Now, we'll see if the McKinney deal helps. It's got to, right?
It can't hurt. I mean, at least the guy's played in the major leagues this year.
Right. I mean, you got
games.
A major leaguer, at least, in the outfield. But they're going to have to try to find a way to piece it together. You know, last night they got 5 brilliant innings from DeGrom, but no surprise he gets the no decision because they didn't break the tie until the 6th when he was already out of the game. But, you know, even getting him back, they just don't have enough regulars. They're not going to score a lot of runs.
So the big games tonight will be the Islanders against the Penguins, where the Islanders could move on to the next round with a win or move into Game 7 in Pittsburgh if they lose, and then the Knicks and the Hawks at the Garden, Game 2. And, Peter, I'm thinking, because you have a lot of connections in the world, now I'm free, I could drive down to the Garden and go to the game. Can you actually get me tickets?
I think Don's the ask here.
Don's the ask?
Yeah, he has a better Garden. I don't have a great Garden connection.
Yeah, they don't even like you there.
Right. I think all you have to do is say out loud, do you want to go? And you'll probably just receive an email with a ticket on your phone.
No, that's...
You don't think your best friend could help you out?
My best friend, Rick DiPietro? Oh, you mean Mike Green?
That's right.
I'm sure that Mike's tickets are already accounted for.
Definitely, we can get you in a situation that if you're willing to pay for the tickets, you'll be able to go.
You know what? I think I'd rather watch it on TV.
Okay.
I really do.
People are really confused, and you were yesterday too. Why the rating was better nationally in New York than for MSG?
But I think that Peter probably said it best. And you know, after he dismissed me on ENN, but people think playoffs. They think it's on national TV.
I forgot.
Because in other sport like the baseball. You tune into the division series. It's not on YES. You know that.
Yeah, but...
And if you were watching other games on national TV, those games are plugging that your game is also on national TV.
Yeah, very quickly. I'm sorry, Peter. The Yankees have announced that Kluber has a subscapular strain. He's shut down for 4 weeks. So if you shut him down for 4 weeks, that means he shut down for 4 weeks. That means he doesn't pick up a baseball for 4 weeks, which means that he probably doesn't come back for 3 weeks after the 4 weeks. So you're looking at 2 months. And if he comes back and he's healthy, again, that could be end up being a good thing if they can fill those starts with somebody who's just as good as he's been. And it's awfully hard to find somebody who's going to be as good as he has been the last 8 starts.
But this will be a positive.
If he comes back.
Yeah. But he was gonna miss time anyway. Oh, maybe not a chunk, but you were gonna have to figure this out where he wasn't gonna pitch a lot of innings, and now for a month, if you could figure it out, and so far they've been able to, they're playing some of their best baseball right now.
Right.
Last night aside, that this is fine. This is better than fine. This is better than him going out and making his 5 starts and then having to, in higher leverage situations, have him not start important games because he doesn't have the innings.
I have breaking news here across
What's
my
this?
Computer.
Tell me.
I just received a text from Dave LaGreca.
Okay.
The brother of Don LaGreca. He wrote one sentence.
Mm-hmm.
Don is the better son.
Of course he knows that, because
yeah.
Don bails out Dave. Don bails out Dave's indifference.
Thank you. That's big confirmation, though.
Did you reach out to him?
Nope. Just blind came across my phone. Don is the better son.
Other people to decide.
Other Yankee injury news. Stanton expected to be activated from the IL on Friday. Boone also said the strain in the shoulder, 4 weeks of no throw, will undergo another MRI. So that makes you a little, again, 4 weeks of no throw means that you're starting where you would start in spring training again to build back up. So if you want to expedite the process, you'd have to say at least 3 weeks, probably more like a month. So a month from now, the end of June, you're probably not getting him back till 2 weeks after the All-Star break.
Best case scenario.
Right, best case.
Because he's going to have an MRI that you hope doesn't reveal anything, and then everything
well,
is
Well, he had one already. He had one already. So he's going to have another. He's headed for another MRI. I don't understand
but
that.
So what are they looking at to see if the area improved without throwing?
I guess. And the subscap strain, the subscap is the largest muscle in the rotator cuff.
They'll be okay.
Also, I hate to, oh, boy.
More?
Luke Voit is back on the IL.
What now?
An oblique issue. They're going to run out of players, too. So, if you looked at the lineup today, Luke wasn't in there. So, LeMahieu's going to play first. I guess they got that covered. And then Odor will play second. They've got that covered. And then Urshela and Torres. I think they're going to need another outfielder. They keep having to run 37-year-old Brett Gardner. I think he's done a nice job, but you don't want to wear him out at 37. They need another guy that could play center field. So they talked yesterday about maybe possibly putting Frazier out there at some point. Now, he played a lot of center field in the minors, but he's been a corner outfielder in the majors. So that's going to be something they need to turn to as well. But they missed Voit when he wasn't there. Voit's a power bat in the middle of the lineup or at the top of the lineup where they've been using him. So, on and on we go. He has a grade 2 oblique strain and will be placed on the injured list.
So one step forward, one step back, right? You're going to get Stanton back on Friday, and now you lose Voit.
Right. Now, also, I was about to say, I don't like to pat myself on the back. Remember when I said yesterday, Luis Ross said there was no pitch count on DeGrom?
Right.
Not the truth. I said he'll pitch 5 innings and 75 pitches. I think that's exactly what he did. And he looked great. And I understand why Rojas did that. Why would you alert Bud Black to how long Jacob DeGrom could be in there? There's no way coming off the IL that you would have a pitcher throw 100 pitches. There's no way. Especially a pitcher who's as valuable as Jacob DeGrom.
Well, you could say he's on a pitch count, but I'm not going to tell you what it is. I know.
But once you say he's on a pitch count, then you know it's under 100. You're giving the other manager some information. That's why what I said yesterday, don't have managers talk about injuries.
But you knew he wasn't going to throw 100 pitches. Nobody was shocked he came out of that game.
Not if they listened to the show.
How many pitches did he throw?
75, I think.
Yeah. That's exactly what, believe me, they didn't want to take him out. Because he was doing great.
And also,
one run in the second, and that was it.
Can you imagine where this team would be without Tomas Nito? It's been unbelievable. He's essentially taken Brian McCann and his $40 million. He's taken his job.
So you're telling me you can step up and you can be better?
Hmm.
It can happen. Because Lindor, 0-for-3 last night, 2 strikeouts, and there was one strikeout, Michael, and Howie Rose mentioned this. So I was listening to this part of the game.
Right.
Where, according to Howie, and he watches every game, that was the first time where you saw his shoulders, shrunk. He looked like physically looked like he's feeling it now. Like he didn't have an answer. Because he's batting 185.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. It's hard to believe. If you've seen him at his best, it's hard to believe that that's happening. And by the way, another piece of Yankee news. Davey Garcia expected to join the Yankee rotation this weekend in Detroit.
Well, that's who we figured, right?
Either Garcia or King. King who pitched yesterday. But Garcia is set up to, he's essentially their sixth guy. So now he gets his chance. He's gonna take over 2 months, Don. That's 10 starts. You can make 10 starts, 10 important starts.
And you hope he creates a problem, right? Like, this is where it could be a good thing. This could be like typical Yankees, where Garcia's lights out, Kluber's clean after the month, so he comes back in 6 weeks, joins a rotation to where now when Herman or Tyone are starting to have their innings reduced, well, bang, Kluber comes in and you can reduce the innings of those guys. This could be an opportunity. We're going to have to see Garcia at some point anyway.
Right.
So if he ends up pitching great, which he did at times in the regular season, then you could actually have now the replacements for those innings in the second half of the season. If Kluber comes back and is healthy, and that's a big if because, as you said, it's going to be 6 weeks, going to have another MRI. But if he ends up being fine, this is an opportunity for Garcia to show what he can do, and the Yankees will have the rotation they want.
You know, even if he comes, it's an awful story about Kluber because, I mean, what a great story it had been. A guy who had these terrible injuries, and he came back all the way to – now, you could say he was Cleveland Kluber. It's hard to say, but you could say it. I mean, he was pitching to that level. He was pitching to that level, and you just wonder how these injuries happen. Did he put too much into that no-hitter? How does Luke Voit hurt his oblique? I mean, all of these special things that they have in order to, like, stop these guys from getting injured. Stanton, quad, Luke Voit, oblique. You know who's played the most games for the Yankees, Don and Peter? Do you know? Aaron Judge.
I was about to say Aaron Judge.
Aaron Judge.
I was like, is that too big a risk? But it feels like he's only missed a few.
Yeah, I think he's missed two and two. Those are the only games he's missed. All right, let's go to the phones. We have Alan Honnett at 5:30, by the way.
That's right.
That'll be fun. I don't know how this guy does it. I mean, he's doing the morning show every single day and then doing the Knicks at night. He's not getting any sleep.
He loves it, though. You hear him?
No, you got to suck it up. This is your chance. This is your moment to shine.
No, but I think he just loves it. He doesn't look at it as work. He's having so much fun.
No, I understand it's fun, but you know the body does need sleep.
Oh, it'll catch up to him. You'll be watching a post game, and all of a sudden he'll just pass out.
See, now that's another reason to watch the MSG post game. When's it going to happen? Let's go to Stefan in Valley Stream. Stefan.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm bummed out. So my brother got myself and my father and my other brother some tickets to go to the Yankee game today for Father's Day. Mm. And the only reason we knew that it was canceled because we were listening to the show. So now we're driving back home because of this rain cancellation.
Well, I will tell you this. I'm sorry that the game's canceled, but I am so pleased that you guys were listening to the show. And that's what we do. We're going to give you the information you need. More Yankee information.
But look on the bright side. It might rain later. So,
Michael King, who I said could have been a possibility to replace Kluber, has not been stretched out to start in full. But Boone said that King might face the Tigers in Detroit this weekend. Because now you're going to have to double up pitchers tomorrow. So you lose the ability to have somebody pitch on normal rest. So there's no days off. And then next week, the Yankees play the Rays and the Red Sox. It's a bad time to be losing their players. This portion of the Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by 2 by London, the engagement shop by London Jewelers. Picker designed the perfect engagement ring to fit every budget. Visit 2 by London at the Americana Manhasset, East Hampton, and Westfield World Trade Center. All right, Don, I'm going to let you produce here. Should I take one more phone call, or should I just go to break and get set up for Alan?
Well, you are taking away from Alan, but we do have a full bank of calls, Michael.
Full bank.
So,
okay. Well, then you know what? Talking a lot of Knicks. We're going to be talking Knicks. So let's go to Spike in New Jersey. Spike.
Thanks, boys, for getting me on. I can't believe all these baseball injuries. Now, one thing with the game tonight, they're going to probably trap Trey Young three-quarters court, half court. That would be the right thing to do. Michael, Peter, Don, I watched that play with Barrett again where Bogdanovich got it. I watched it 10 times. It's so quirky that the ball came to him.
Yep.
It's almost like a magic trick. It's just beyond, that's the game right there. But I'll leave you with this. Alan brought up a point today. He was on something and popping on and off. And I mentioned Trey Young's 34.3. Alan said, you give him all the props in the world, Trey Young's 31% since January shooting the three.
Yeah, you got to make him shoot from outside. Don't let him penetrate, Spike. That's the deal. You know, make him beat you from outside.
Right, but you know what? He's smart enough, Michael. This is what a buddy of mine told me. And I, you know, ran it around my mind. And he's just not going to take that many outside shots. His game is to get into the lane. I think Allen said today, or Colin, 14 times he was in the paint and he made 9. 9 out of 14. That's a ridiculous percentage. I think we'll be fine tonight, and I think Julius will certainly improve. And you trap this kid, and you time him out, and you run him out, and you keep him out of the lane, and I think we win that.
Now I'm going to ask you this because you will appreciate this question. Ready, Spike?
Sure.
What would the Knicks of Oakley and Mason do to Trae Young in the paint?
Do you know my best friend in the world who played D1 ball in the mid-60s said to me, could we ever use Oak in that game? They would put him on his ass the whole game and stare him down. But the game's gotten different, you know? Two hands, one hand, now no hands.
You can't do that now. But if he tried to play this way in 1994, he wouldn't be in the game too long. I mean, the game's changed completely. Well, Alan Hahn is going to join us in just a moment. He'll get us set up for the Knicks and the Hawks game, too. And by the way, you can hear the Knicks and the Hawks game, too, right here on 98.7 ESPN. And if you want to consume the Islanders and the Penguins, that's over on 10:50. And that starts when, Don?
6:30, 6 o'clock pregame.
All right, so there you have it. So you're all set up for both. See, that's curious to me, Don. You know hockey better than I do. Why do all the Islander fans chant the name of the network that the Yankees play on?
It has nothing to do with the ES Network.
It doesn't? No. Does it have to do with this show?
No.
Oh.
It is, though, a ripoff of Daniel Bryan.
Yes.
There you go. No pun intended, Don.
All right, let's towel off, shower off. We'll talk to Hahn in just a moment right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.